you pray with me? Father, we now come to your word. We pray, God, that you would help me and carry me along as I attempt to proclaim and explain it. And Father, I pray that you would help the congregation to hear what you have for them. Anything that I say that is not for them, Lord, I pray that it would just pass over deaf ears. But anything that is you, that is gospel, that is good news, Lord, would you encourage and equip? In Jesus' name, amen. I'm guessing that we've all said it before. In fact, one of my daughters asked me at the dinner table this past week, "Papa, can I have some more mac and cheese?" And then she quickly corrected herself, and she said, "I mean, may I have more mac and cheese?" I confess, I've probably been that annoying parent who, you know, took every opportunity to differentiate between "can I," you know, "ability," "of course you can, sweetheart," you know, and just left it there. Versus "may I," permission, willingness. Am I willing to give my daughter more mac and cheese? And I suppose that my daughter has gotten the grammatical memo. So I apologize. She's not here. But anyhow, in our passage this morning, we see Jesus. And we see Jesus interacting with a leper. We'll get a glimpse into who Jesus is. And it's one of those many instances in Scripture where he demonstrates that he's both the divine Messiah King and a suffering servant. And as a Messiah King, he's possessed with all ability. He can. And as the suffering servant, he is expressing all willingness. All willingness. So if you have your Bible with you this morning, you will be helped if you just pull it out and open it up and keep it open to Mark chapter 1. We're in the last paragraph of Mark chapter 1, as most Bibles have it. It's verses 40 through 45. And I'm going to try to reference it regularly so that you can follow along. But before that, let me just say a few words by way of context. You'll recall, perhaps, I mean, I've been preaching through the first chapter in Mark's gospel now for a while, just a little bit at a time. We're just kind of putting it, you know, closer and closer to Mark 16, I guess. And it's a pleasure, but we've been going at a slow pace. And so let me refresh your memory, and you may not even been here that long ago. So this will be a way to catch up. You'll recall that Mark's gospel begins with the words, "the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And that signals who Jesus is. Jesus is the Messiah King, Christ, and God's Son. And it also signals why we should care. It's gospel. It is good news that we're about to hear in this gospel that tells us about the life and ministry and death and resurrection of Jesus. But then Mark connects Jesus' arrival to the Old Testament, and he quotes Isaiah in particular. And not only Jesus' arrival, but John the Baptist's arrival as kind of the new Elijah. He's coming and he's preparing the way for the Lord, which bleeds right into Jesus' baptism, where the Father and the Spirit publicly identified Jesus as the beloved Son with whom the Father is well pleased. As soon as Jesus is baptized, the Spirit of God drives him out into the wilderness, as you know, and he's tempted by Satan for 40 days. And those 40 days are meant to remind you of the 40 years in which Israel was tempted in the wilderness. Just like Adam had been tempted in the garden, but he had failed, Israel was tempted in the wilderness and failed. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and he did not fail. And then in verses 14 and 15, Mark quotes Jesus to briefly summarize his ministry. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And so after calling a handful of fishermen to be his ragtag disciples, he begins his ministry in earnest, and he teaches with marked authority. It's undeniable. And he does so in the tabernacle. And, you know, the devil had just lost this battle with Jesus in the wilderness, failing to successfully tempt Jesus to sin. And so now in the tabernacle, Jesus is teaching, and everyone's like, whoa, Jesus. And the devil, he can't have that, right? And you'll find this throughout Jesus' ministry. He's going to attack through the demonic forces, unlike any other time in human history. You and I don't see the demonic regularly today. They didn't see the demonic regularly in the Old Testament. But when Jesus shows up, the devil is, it's, you know, all forces are attacking. And so a demon shows up and opposes Jesus in the tabernacle through a demon-possessed man. And Jesus casts him out, and he instantly becomes famous, such that all the town comes flocking to him to be healed. He heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and the disciples line up, folks, say, y'all, come on, Jesus is going to heal you, okay? And he does. He heals countless people. And then Jesus goes, and he goes to pray alone, in isolation, some time with the Father. And the disciples find him, and they say, Jesus, where have you been, brother? We got all kinds of people. They want to see you. They want to know you. They want to get healed. And Jesus says, let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. He didn't come to be merely a celebrity miracle worker. He came to preach the gospel. The miracles portray the gospel, thereby reinforcing that gospel message that he proclaimed. And so, certainly, that could be really, you know, for the first three chapters or maybe first eight chapters, that could be the main point of every sermon on some level. Because Jesus is doing the miraculous, and it's proving to everyone who he is. But in this passage, this morning, with the leper, Mark's narrative zooms in, and I believe it focuses the message just a little bit more. So the main theme I'm hoping to highlight in the passage this morning is this. In cleansing the leper, Jesus demonstrates both his pity, and his power to cleanse you from your sin. In cleansing the leper, Jesus demonstrates both his pity and his power to cleanse you from your sin. Well, before we go on any further, please follow along with me in your Bible, and we'll just read this paragraph. I'll read the paragraph, and you can follow along. Mark 1:40-45. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for yourself cleansing, what Moses commanded, for a proof to them." But he went out and he began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. So we'll consider this theme of Jesus demonstrating his pity and power to cleanse sinners in an unfolding fashion, because you see something happening. There's a situation, and that results in a response, and then another response, and another response. So we'll just kind of look at it in an unfolding fashion. And we'll begin with the leper's request in verse 40. The leper's request. Verse 40 said, "And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling to him, said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.'" Now, a word about leprosy, the leper's disease. What is leprosy? Leprosy is it's a term that includes really a lot of skin diseases, a wide range of contagious and potentially deadly skin diseases, and it was generally incurable. So if you had leprosy, barring the miraculous, life was from there on out not good. It'd be like, you know, you receive stage 4 cancer and it's contagious. So anyone you receive a diagnosis of stage 4 cancer and it's contagious, and anyone you touch or come into close contact with will also get it. Right? That's the sort of thing. It's awful. But it's not necessarily that your skin's all white. Could be. Not necessarily that you have boils. Could be. Not necessarily that the cartilage is falling off of your face and whatnot. Could be. It's a wide range of things. Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46 says something in the law about leprosy. "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, and his hair of his head shall hang loose. He shall cover up his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean! Unclean!' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." All right. So that's what Leviticus says, and that's what they're practicing in the New Testament. A leper is unclean. A label that signals that he lives in a fallen world and is experiencing one of its particularly devastating effects. This leper may not have particularly done one thing that merited God's judgment and gave him leprosy. It's not a one-to-one, but it does signify that he lives in a fallen world that is cursed. Leprosy is part of the curse, and he bears one instance of that curse. And so he's exposed to the curse of Genesis 3, to death and dying in some form or fashion. That which is clean cannot come into contact with that which is unclean. The unclean will contaminate the clean. You know this. So hence, all the ceremonial laws in the Old Testament, they have to go out of the camp in order to keep the people in the camp clean. Now imagine the leper in our passage. He had to quarantine himself outside of the city and outside of all society, alone, aside, maybe, we don't know this, aside perhaps from the company of some other lepers. But we can perhaps begin to imagine what this would have been like. I mean, we just came through the worldwide pandemic in large part. I remember when I had COVID. I had to quarantine, and I quarantined for something like 5 to 7 days, 8 days, something like that. I did my best to contact Trace so that I could let other people know. If you have come, you know, if you and I had close contact, you should know you might need to quarantine because I have COVID. And I needed to let them know that they had been exposed. The leper, though, the leper in our passage, he had lifelong COVID. Lifelong. There was no vaccine. And he had to warn everyone who came near. He had to shout with mouth covered, right? Unclean, unclean. In other words, stay away. I might infect you. You would lose everything, I know. But when Jesus shows up, the leper, particularly the leper's heart, it swells with faith. And in utter desperation, he approaches Jesus. So we move from the leper's disease to the leper's desperation. And he disregards the law of Moses, which says, you know, Jesus comes close, you got to say, no, stay away. Mm-mm. He comes to Jesus and he makes a bold request. And the text says he implores him and he gets on his knees and he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Why does he phrase his request that way? He says, if you are willing, because he's unsure whether Jesus is willing. Pretty straightforward. Is Jesus willing to cleanse him? He's unsure of Jesus' heart toward him. Jesus, I heard, maybe, that you have this reputation of healing people, but would you heal me? He's going out on a limb, and he's asking, if you're willing, I know you can do this. I know you can do it. Surely he's been accustomed to being ostracized by everyone. No one is willing to engage him or to help him. But the leper knows one thing for sure. He knows that Jesus is able. Perhaps he merely believes that Jesus is a prophet like Elisha. You remember Elisha? He is the one who cleansed Naaman from his leprosy. And that's a possibility. Maybe he merely thinks Jesus is a prophet like that. I lean away from that, because even when you go back to Kings and hear and see Elisha cleansing Naaman, well, Elisha instructs Naaman, well, go to that water and cleanse yourself multiple times, and then come back, and then you'll be cleaned. The leper in our case believes that Jesus himself can do it. Jesus himself can do it. He's not saying, Lord, I know if you're willing, you could give me instructions to have me go find cleansing somewhere. No. He knows that Jesus himself can do it. He can make this happen. So perhaps he just heard Jesus preach the Sermon on the Mount and was compelled to faith by Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew places this this passage right after Matthew 6 or 7. So Jesus comes down from the mountain and a leper approaches him. We don't have that here in Mark, but that's a strong possibility. The Gospels aren't always chronological, so I'm just going to hold that loosely. Perhaps he heard about the exorcism in the synagogue because Jesus' fame is already starting to spread, or the sick folks who flocked to Simon's house, right? I don't exactly know how he knows who Jesus is and what he's able to do, but he knows. Perhaps it's all the above. Perhaps he heard those things and heard him preach, and he's like, this is my guy, I'm going to him. I don't care what Moses says, he's going to heal me, I know it. So, whatever it is, the leper makes his desperate request in faith, believing that Jesus himself is endowed with the power of God such that he can make him clean. that he can restore his life pre-quarantine. If you understand yourself to be an unbeliever this morning, I want to highlight that the leper in our passage this morning, the leper is something of a mirror for you. You can look at the passage and read the passage and hear these words this morning as if you're looking in a mirror. His disease is not unlike your unclean heart. Your leprous heart may not be obvious to the person next to you. It may not even be obvious to you sometimes. In fact, you may even enjoy your leprous disease. Kind of like, I would always get poison ivy as a kid, and it's awful. And I'd scratch by my poison ivy to get relief. But as soon as I did, it's like 3 times bigger. And it's contagious. And I would scratch something else, and it's there too, right? Sometimes sin is, it feels good. But it's terrible. And it's overwhelming, and it spreads. And it gets worse and worse and worse. So perhaps you love your spiritual leprosy, if you're being honest. But I think it's reasonable to reason with you now. You may also really desire life. While it feels good to scratch, you also desire to be free from the scratching. If that's you, will you, like the leper, come to Jesus? Come to him in desperate faith, knowing that the fitness that he requires, all the fitness that he requires, is that you feel your need of him. He is the great physician. The sick know that they need a doctor, and he is the only doctor in town. He's the only doctor in the universe, the only doctor that exists. What about you? Are you sick? Well, the leper certainly goes out on a limb, and he makes a bold request in faith. But now let's consider how the Lord responds. The Lord's response. Verse 41. We'll start there. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, the leper, and said to him, "I will be clean." But first of all, the Lord's response is pity. What is pity? But Jesus sees the leper's desperation. He sees his immense need. Jesus sees the leper's faith, his unexpected belief. Jesus responds in pity, desiring to show him compassion. Pity is compassion and kindness. Jesus's pity demonstrates his character as he most clearly describes it in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Because, what am I like? I'll tell you what I'm like. I am gentle and I am lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus surprises the leper by responding in gentle and lowly pity. Gentle and lowly pity. And how does that gentle and lowly pity move Jesus to act? Well, he does the unthinkable. The unthinkable. He reaches out and touches the leper. And not only that, he speaks to him in close proximity. I mean, we've gone through COVID. If you were to touch somebody in the midst, you know, a year and a half ago, neither one of you are masked and you don't know each other well, and you know that person's sick, you touch them and then you talk to them. Good luck. He speaks reassuring words of great power and says, I will be clean. Now, Jesus could have only spoken to the leper a word of healing. He could have done that. But he touches him, the man who is untouchable. And he does it in compassion. The first touch the leper had received in who knows how long. Not only did the leper come to Jesus, Jesus comes to the leper. In these brief words, Jesus effectively communicates, I am willing and I am able. I've got the power and I will use it to heal you. I've demonstrated that I can deliver other people, but I can heal you in particular. And I'm going to demonstrate now with your deliverance. Unbelieving friend, Jesus welcomes you and he offers you cleansing from your sin. What prevents you from right now, repenting and believing in Jesus? Coming to him in faith. And this could easily just be one of those sermons where it's merely evangelistic. But it's not. And not in my case anyway. I'm gonna extend this. Christian, behold your Savior. Relish his compassion. It's for you. Delight in the one who bore the curse for your sake. And furthermore, if God so loved you and had compassion on you when you were still a sinner, think about this. How much more compassion does God have for you now as his beloved son or daughter, whom he purchased? You are his. He has compassion for you, and he welcomes you to come to him daily because you're growing. You're growing, but you're not there yet. We're not to the celestial city just yet, pilgrims. So, he has compassion, and he welcomes you daily to repent and believe. Once upon a time, I walked an aisle and got baptized, and that was the end of the story. No, we do that every day. We don't get baptized every day, but, you know. We repent, and we believe every day. We live by faith, the scriptures say. We live ongoing by faith. His mercies are new. His mercies are new. Well, what was the result of Jesus' compassionate touch and words? Verse 42, and immediately the leprosy left him. It left him, and he was made clean. The Lord's power. Jesus cleanses the leper instantaneously, as only God is able. Who is this Jesus? Not only is he gentle and lowly, which is awesome, but he's also Lord. He is the great physician. He is the creator and the recreator. He is God the Son, whom the Father sent in love to redeem us from our sins, to cleanse us from our sins against him and against one another. Truth be told, if Jesus were just an ordinary Joe, he would have contracted leprosy and would have become ceremonial unclean. It's a one-way street, right? Uncleanness, encountering cleanness, would have been bad news. That's why he's out there. The contagion of death spreads, infecting anyone it can. But Jesus is no ordinary Joe. He is the God-man, the second Adam. And rather than becoming unclean, he exudes purity. and he cleanses the leper in the process, like a flashlight piercing the darkness. In a completely dark room, the uncleanness cannot overwhelm his holiness. He reverses the flow of traffic. Typically, the unclean makes the clean unclean. But when Jesus touches the leper, purity goes out from Jesus, and he cleanses him instantaneously. Now, Lord, indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. All right, so we've got the Lord's pity, the Lord's power, and then the Lord's prohibition. So it's not the end of the narrative. Jesus doesn't just cleanse the leper. He gives him a warning or a charge. Verses 43 and 44. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." Now, why does Jesus give such a prohibition to the leper? I mean, don't tell anybody except the priest. I mean, that's weird. Here's my reasoning, my best thoughts. First, a negative reason why he does this. Jesus' ministry centers on proclamation of the gospel. We know that already in chapter 1, he said as much, "I came to preach." And as we'll see in verse 45, it's possible that he could draw a crowd that might prevent him from preaching in the cities. So Jesus isn't quite ready to be that well known. He gives him a negative reason. Don't go and tell everybody I did this. But I think there's also a positive reason. Jesus says in verse 44 that if the leper presents his cleansed self to the priest, it will function as, the very end of 44, as a proof to them. Proof for what? It could be a proof like, look, the leper's clearly cleansed. It's proof to the priest that he's clearly cleansed, so this guy can re-enter society. I think that's at play. Also, there's going to be a question. Well, how on earth did this happen? You've been a leper for some time. Yeah, Jesus did it. Jesus cleansed me, you know. Then the priests, you know, the high priests are the ones who are actually leveling the charges against Jesus that eventually condemn him to death on the cross. The priests would have to acknowledge that Jesus did this. So maybe there's more mileage that Jesus can get out of this miracle with the religious leaders. That's a little bit of speculation on my part, but I think that's a real possibility. That's proof to them. But these reasons seem reasonable enough, but the leper responds and he responds. We'll put it that way. Let's look at his response in verse 45. He went out and he began to talk freely about it. Ugh. And to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. And people were coming to him from every quarter. So let's consider how his response affects both the leper and the Lord Jesus. The leper inside the city. The leper could not contain himself in his amazement. He disregards Jesus' instructions, and he shouts it from the rooftops. He tells everybody, and there's no indication that he ever went to the priest and presented sacrifice as, you know, as proof to them. He didn't obey. He didn't do it. And surely, he should have obeyed. He should have. But before you come down on him too hard, consider this. Jesus commissioned the leper to silence. And he commissioned himself to silence and to presenting himself to the priest. And yes, he failed in that commission, and that's not good. He should have done it. But since Jesus' resurrection, he has commissioned us, all of his disciples, to do the opposite. He's commissioned all of us to do the opposite. He's commissioned us to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, to tell everyone, everywhere, to tell them of Jesus' cleansing power. Wow. To sing out, "Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow, nothing but the blood of Jesus." He's commissioned us to preach out Christ and him crucified. He's commissioned us to love one another as God in Christ has loved us, thereby showing everyone else how God treats us. He's commissioned us to share the reason for the hope that we have in us with those who don't know Jesus' gospel. So before you cast the first stone at the leper, consider your own obedience to the Lord Jesus' commission. Pray that the Lord would help you to delight in obedience. It is no drudgery, this commission that the Lord has given us. You were in prison, shackled in your sin, and the Lord Jesus broke those bonds and freed you, and you get to go into the city saying, "I'm free and I'm clean. Praise God." Right? What a beautiful commission we have. It should be really quite easy. But sometimes we cower in fear, or sometimes we are distracted and don't even think about the lost souls that we encounter throughout the day. Consider meditating this afternoon on the spiritual leprosy that the Lord Jesus has cleansed you from, and where you would be apart from his cleansing power and his pity to save you. We'll notice Christ's display of mercy toward the leper. Because Jesus cleansed him, the leper is now restored to life in society. Think about it. Meals with his family. Sleeping in his own house. On his own bed. Working alongside his neighbors. If he was married and with children, right, returning to the embrace of his wife and holding his beloved children for the first time in who knows how long. The compassionate touch of Jesus resurrects the leper, the former leper, from his life of rotting and decay to re-entering the town and society and life and joy and peace. Now he can enter the city and say, "Clean, clean, mouth uncovered. Everybody, I'm back. I'm as good as new." That's good news. But this joyous resurrection comes at a cost. So if the leper goes into the city, the Lord comes out. The leper coming into the city results in a great exchange, right? Jesus goes out. Jesus is forced out of the city. He gives up his ministry inside that town for the sake of this leper. The leper goes in. Jesus comes out. And even more than that, Jesus purchases the leper's cleansing, dare I say, on credit. On credit. Jesus hasn't died yet, but all of his healings and all of his exorcisms and forgiveness, those things are still blood-bought. Jesus heals and forgives those who come to him in faith. And for the leper, he comes to him in faith that Jesus is who he says he is and will die. Jesus came to him outside the city to cleanse the leper. And in a couple of short years, Jesus would be ostracized by means of being hung upon a cross, a criminal's cross, outside the city, bearing the awful load of God's wrath for the leper's sins and for your sins and for my sins. For all who would trust in him alone. So the Lord goes outside the city for the leper and is forced to remain outside. That's a beautiful flip-flop. I love that gospel exchange at the end. Well, shortly we'll sing together, "Amazing Love, How Can It Be That Thou, My God, Shouldst Die for Me?" That's extraordinary. It's extraordinary, isn't it? Our Lord Jesus is both willing and able to save us. He is filled with piteous compassion to cleanse us from our sins. As God the Son and as suffering servant, Isaiah says again in that passage that Teresa read, "Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." All right, the leper's healing comes with the wounding of Jesus on the cross eventually. That's why I said credit. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Friend, questions for you. Is Jesus able to save you? Yes, he is. Friend, is Jesus willing to save you? Yes, he is. He is able. He is willing. And friend, is Jesus able and willing to keep you? Yes, he is. Praise God for this good news. Would you bow with me in prayer? Oh God, our Father, we praise your name. We delight in the good news that you save and cleanse sinners. Lord, we thank you that there's nothing good that we have done that would merit your saving grace. You have done it all, and you are the one we come to. Lord, we thank you that you have compassion. Remind us, God, that your character is fundamentally that of love toward us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Lord, we praise you. We are humbled. Help us now to respond in faith. And Lord, we pray that you would keep us to the end. In your amazing love. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand for our closing song?